Hi. As the name of the podcast suggests, I connect a lot of topics together in the service of growing the practice of psychotherapy. As the number of episodes grows, it occurred to me that I could offer you a way to organize the episodes. So I've created playlists. Playlists are compilations of all the episodes on one topic. If you'd like to try this out, there is a link in the show notes to the playlist page, where you will find the categories, and then you click on the category you're interested in, and you'll see all the episodes on that topic. I hope you enjoy it. While you're there, you could sign up for the newsletter if you like. Those come out weekly and are a great way for us to stay in touch, and for you to keep up to date about the podcast and additional events. Hello, and thank you for joining the Connection Therapy Podcast. This is a podcast about the craft of psychotherapy, and we seek to support those who strive to improve their craft by sharing research about the science and stories about the art of psychology. Together, we will explore these findings so you can decide how you want to apply them to benefit your practice. Continuing with the discussion of Erik Erikson's 8-stage model for psychosocial development, this episode is going to review the 4th stage, which he entitled Industry versus Inferiority. And it runs from about 6 years to 11 years old. And in this stage, children, according to Erikson, are resolving the conflict between industry versus inferiority. Again, the first thing I want to do is reframe the language of the stage into something I understand so that I can apply it. And so I consider what I actually see when working with children. Industry versus inferiority. Well, for me, I'm going to start with the side of that that I understand best, which is inferiority. Inferiority is intuitive, unfortunately, as humans, because we, on the whole, at any age, understand what it is like to feel inferior or less than something or someone else. So contrasting this with the flip side, maybe the aspirational side of this stage, industry. What is industry? I reviewed the Oxford definitions for industry just to root myself in the basic definitions. And the first is like an economic one, such as the toy industry, which is probably in full swing at this time of the year as we approach the holidays. And then there is the second definition, which is simply hard work. Yes, hard work. This orientation helps me understand this stage because it's the side of the conflict where we can actually control. It's the part we can lean into in this stage of life, where if we apply hard work, we see some differences in our place in the world and in our sort of experience, because we can't always be the best. So how, as humans, do we not fall apart because we are not the best? Well, hopefully we have some people around us that remind us that we are loved regardless of our abilities. And for ourselves, it becomes important to understand that we have given things our best try. We have applied hard work during our efforts. Even though we may not have natural skills to make a basketball drop through the net, for example, speaking from experience here, we can still try to make a basket. And on occasion, it goes in. In other words, the only side of this conflict we have some control over is our ability to apply hard work. Okay, so that's how we can understand what is happening in this stage from our sort of tasks developmentally. But let's understand a little bit more about what's happening for children who are developing during these ages from 6 to 11. This is one of the stages where Freud's initial explanation actually helps me quite a bit. And that is simply, there's not as much going on in this stage. So Freud actually called it latency, meaning that it kind of everything slows down. And from a mental health perspective, we can consider that to be that the mind and the emotions are trying to catch up with what just happened. You know, this is in the last 6 years, people have multiplied their body size quite a bit. I mean, we are growing a lot at this stage, just physically. Everything has been kind of on the move and new abilities have been coming online in the previous stages. So this is the stage, like the way I'd imagine it, is our bodies kind of downshift for a few years and get used to the ability to work with all of our capacities from a physical perspective before we launch into the next stage after this one, which will be puberty. So it's kind of that take a break and a breath sort of stage. And he called it latency. So it's this sort of almost dormant stage where at the surface, not much looks like it's happening. But as you get to work with children in this stage, it becomes quite clear that very much is happening internally. But it's really hard for children to express this verbally. And so for mental health therapists working with children in this stage, it can be quite difficult because there's really not much that can be expressed and understood because there's just so much happening underneath that it's kind of working its way up to the cognitive levels of awareness. I also mentioned in an earlier episode that there are times in the childhood stages where we actually want to see narcissism. What? I know, that's still a strange concept, so let me explain. Narcissism at this age is important because the child needs to seek the validation for their hard work. Their hard work is sort of an experiment here because they're trying to figure out what happens in the world. They're coming off the stage from the one that I discussed previously where they're just realizing that when they do things, their differentiation from others is such that they actually have the ability to make an impact in the world. And so now it's kind of like more experimentation of like, well, what happens when they do something and how does it result in an outcome? So the sort of test and experimental side of this is pretty active. And they need that validation to help them understand the results they're getting in the world. In other words, so they're trying to go to school. This is when they first start meeting other children their age on a larger scale, such as in grade school. And the narcissism kind of helps them distinguish the inferiority side of this developmental task. So at this stage, we're growing up, we're coming to terms with the fact that some kids do things better than us. Children at 6 years old are just getting settled into their grade school settings. And the reality that someone else runs faster, reads better, maybe can do multiplication tables better, it's just that. It's a reality. And so the part of this that they have the ability to control is the hard work side. So sometimes children are going to have physical abilities that are maybe better in their best strength. So we're going to see them apply that hard work in their gym classes. And other children are going to have the ability to do math or English very well. And so these distinctions start to come out and they need help understanding that even though they can't do everything the best, their efforts have some reward. And to me, that's what the narcissism here is seeking, is that understanding that effort leads to reward. And what I have observed here is that adults do not really need to correct for an overabundance of narcissism at this stage because, unfortunately, the cruelty of childhood enters in here. And peers will definitely provide an experience of correction if someone gets too narcissistic at this stage. Because what happens is this is also when they start to be interested in making friends, and they're much more conscious of the peer relationships. And since every peer in the classroom is going through a similar type phase, there's kind of a hyper sensitivity of others that's hard for us sometimes as adults to remember how incredibly intense the world feels at this stage because they're really becoming aware of others and Each movement they make or don't make is noticed by their peers. And so it's sort of a hypersensitive and can feel like a hypercritical stage that tends to bring back that narcissistic edge if it overdevelops. But some of it is really healthy, and we like to see it as mental health therapists from this stage, as much as that sounds strange, I know. So at this stage, those are the major things that you're going to see in terms of development are an interest in peers, a curiosity about how their efforts lead to different results, and some healthy narcissism perspectives, which again, I know even sounds funny to say it again, but those are the things we're looking for in this 6 to 11 years stage. And for me, the main thing to remember is it's called latency for a reason. And so working with children in this stage of life can seem like there's not much happening in therapy. And this is where I do focus a lot on play therapy interventions, because that nonverbal social learning experience is going a long way for a child who's this sensitive to the world. And your ability to be with them and have some social experiences where they learn what it's like to be with a safe adult who is going to make room for all of their expressions as they are experiencing them and trying to make sense of them can go a long way and be very therapeutic. The last thing I would like to highlight about this and all childhood stages, especially at this time of year as we approach the holidays, is that not all children are excited about the holiday break when they will have a couple of weeks away from school coming up here soon. Even myself, when I was early in my training, I would bring this up with children, especially in this stage, because as I just mentioned, the latency aspect of this phase means therapy sessions are pretty quiet and the patient does not usually show much enthusiasm. So I would bring up the holidays about something they might be excited about. And I would ask like, so, you know, what are you thinking about for your holiday break? What's your plans? And to my surprise, many children, when provided to give an honest reflection of their experience, often would show their ambivalence and maybe even the fact that they were not looking forward to the break. And this has to do with many factors that are unique to each child. But in general, I don't think we ever want to underestimate the power of structure and routine to provide a sense of safety. And so when children are removed from that school environment that they've become used to in this stage, the unpredictability of a home environment with maybe many schedules, many siblings, many other factors that make it less structured than the school environment where there are predictable meals, predictable schedules, predictable routines, and even everyone has often an assigned seat. You know, there's so much about a school situation that is routinized and expected that to leave that for a lot of children and some adults, let's be honest, this is a true statement for all of us, that when we break from our routine, it can feel unstabilizing. And I was really shown this during the pandemic when everyone was at home and we were doing telehealth sessions, because sometimes the home environments are the unstructured nature of an environment is really difficult for a young child to navigate. And as a therapist now, I remind myself, like I do for most things, to just stay curious about a child's expectations, say, for example, over their holiday break, and observe how they speak about their thoughts and feelings. At this age, they're starting to understand that there's a socially expected answer. So in my earlier training, when I came with the question of like, so holiday break, what do you think? Then a lot of times I would get a reciprocal answer that had similar enthusiasm. But if I slow down and really listen, then a lot of times people don't express that this is a, quote, great time of the year. And many people have an ambivalence about it. It's quite natural to have difficulty over the holidays, especially when you feel like you should be feeling a way that you don't. And one of the first opportunities we have to support people is in this stage where the ambivalence is pretty normal. So what can we do as a therapist to support children who are going into an unstructured environment and may not feel as excited about it that we might expect them to? Well, there's a few things. Being open to the holidays not being great and see if the conversation can have a lot of space to explore all aspects of the experience. And also ensuring that the next appointment after the holidays is set and that they are aware of it. We may not be able as mental health therapists to support them through all the aspects of an unstructured, unpredictable holiday break, but to the best of our ability, we can provide a structured and predictable time for when therapy sessions will resume. For this age range in particular, I usually phrase it like the next appointment as I'm letting them know when that would be. I phrase that in terms of their school schedule or something else they can anchor to. For example, I might say something like, "So, we won't have our regular appointment next week during the holidays, but then the week after that, you'll go back to school on Monday and I will see you that Tuesday afternoon." That's one way I help children in this stage. So in summary, this stage is a very quiet stage on the whole, but I think if we can start to really practice our awareness of nonverbals, we'll see that there's a tremendous amount of intensity working with children in this stage. And I should say too, later stages, when we see that intense nature that has difficulty being verbalized or expressed, then we can, at any age, you know, adults and later, when we see people struggling with the industry versus inferiority tasks of this stage, then what we want to do to help them kind of fulfill these tasks at any later stage where maybe these weren't fully developed is to make space for that ambivalence of trying to navigate the feelings of industry, like when I apply my hard work, and inferiority, when I still might feel like many others and maybe all others are better than me, and trying to understand that internal narcissism of like, well, sometimes when I work hard, I do feel good about myself. You know, trying to kind of put all of those puzzle pieces together in a way that suits the person uniquely for that age and then for their unique personality is something I do. And also for many people, the predictable routines are important. So helping them consider what it's like to be in a structured versus an unstructured environment and how to navigate and make sense of that experience. And then being open and ready when they return from the holiday break to make space for all things to be accepted and welcomed into the therapy session are among the ways I try to provide support for people at this stage and at this time of the year. I hope you'll join us again for future explorations in the field of psychology. And if you'd like to take a step further, there are additional ways to obtain more education and support on our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com. While there, you will find information about the authors and studies featured in the podcast episodes. Also, you will see a schedule of live trainings I offer on the topics featured in the podcast. And you will find information about the Connection Community, a growing group of mental health clinicians dedicated to the study and practice of psychotherapy. Please check out our website, connectiontherapypodcast.com, to learn more. Thanks. Until next time.